Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is a terrific Tuesday, July 21st. You have tuned in to Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody, always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.wix.com/Baki. You can also check us out on social media, Facebook, Google Plus, Instagram, Vine. We're all over the world wide web, giving you the inspiration and motivation you need to make sure that you are living your life out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I'm excited you tuned in. If you hadn't noticed, we're changing the format up a little bit. We're not so much focused on the individual during this season, but we're focused on the family. Yeah, because it's important, because there's so much stuff going on in the world today that if we get back to the basics, if we get back to self-care and self-preservation and taking care of our family, that we will affect the community, the neighborhood, and even and eventually the world. With our motto of life is worth living and living out loud, you get one chance in this human body to just do and be and to live, and who wants to be cumbered down with stress and all that other negative stuff? If you only get one shot at something, you're going to make it work. So I'm reminding you, this is your one shot. Let's make it work. So this week, our focus is mainly on maintaining the marriage. And so I don't have a lot of, psychological and scientific research to go ahead with that. It's pretty much, you know, my life experiences and my mistakes, and I just want to share those. Hopefully you guys won't choose the same path, or you'll learn from it, or at least you'll laugh and be like, girl, this girl right here is crazy. Thank goodness my marriage is nothing like that. No, I'm just playing. We have been married for 12 years. 12 years. Wonderful, great, fantastic, trying, stressful, upsetting years. It's been all of that. It's been one heck of a roller coaster ride, and I personally don't like roller coaster rides due to the uncertainty and the force and the motion sickness that comes from it. But I promise you, that's really just like my marriage. The uncertainty, the quick movements. Sometimes things are slow, then there's anticipation, there's a drop. Yeah, we have experienced a lot in 12 years. And so, of course, yes, I did research and see what, of course, the other experts are saying, because if you've been in the field at least 10 years, you should have some knowledge for self. And so I have that, plus I have what the psychologists and the analysts and, you know, the popular magazines are saying. I'm going to share a whole lot of that with you, but more so it's just going to be like, this is the trial and error that we went through. All right, so to maintain the marriage, my husband and I, we went through what's called premarital counseling. That was after the dating, or when the dating got a little more serious, and we're like, oh, I think we're actually going to get married. I think that, you know, idea of what marriage is, thanks to, you know, a couple TV shows, a couple family examples, and we wanted that for ourselves. So we talked to our pastors at the time and settled down and started taking the premarital counseling, which really saved us for the first, forever, yeah, because it still saves us, because we still use those tools. We were actually willing to be taught, because sometimes you go into situations just to go through it like, yeah, okay, whatever. But we went through premarital counseling with someone who had been married like 20, 30 years, and so they had their own knowledge, plus the book knowledge, plus real-life applications for the situation. And so that also made them an expert, plus they were willing to listen. So we went to premarital counseling. My husband's like one of the first things, like, what's the key to a good marriage? And so my husband's all like, what, my fiance is like, oh, communication. Yeah, that's the key. Go for it. We will talk about everything. We can talk about everything. It's going to be great. We'll talk, because while we were dating, that's what we did. We did a whole lot of talking, like late nights on the phone, falling asleep, just talking to each other after 8, 10, 12-hour days of work, it still doesn't matter, kids in the background talking. Okay, fine. So we did all that. So we got married, and I'd say about a month or so in, we were kind of talked out. And I'm like, wait, you said during premarital counseling we had to talk. Anyone who really knows me knows that I can beat a dead horse with my words, no problem, all day, every day. My husband's pretty much the same way. He's very talkative and ongoing. But by our second, third month of marriage, like a major issue or two had arisen, had arose, and we're not talking about it. We're just going about our lives. He's working in this city. I'm working in this city. We're working an hour and a half away from each other. We come home and see each other. By the time I got home, we're too tired. We're too pooped. Got to put the kid down. Got another kid on the way. What's really going on? We're not talking. You said in premarital counseling we had to talk. Well, you don't know how to talk. And at that time, he was absolutely 127% correct. I did not know how to talk. I did not know how to talk in such a way that was effective or active listening. I didn't have those skills. I was not able to communicate with him. We're living under the same roof, but it was almost like we were becoming strangers really quick. And I was like, okay, something has got to change. So luckily we got to go and look at our situation and, of course, go back for some more additional counseling because it was needed. And so his mechanism, like if there's a really intense moment, his mechanism is to shut down. Conversation's over. I'm done. Let me process, yada, yada, yada. My mechanism is to take it up a notch. What you mean you're walking away? You don't walk away from me. And so I'm going after him as he's walking away, doing an elevated or heated conversation. And for any wife or anyone looking to be a wife, you have to understand that there are differences between males and females, that men have a certain way that they process information, women have a certain way that they process information. And oftentimes I was hearing incorrectly. I was hearing what I thought I heard, and it wasn't actually what he was saying. And then other times, I would take what he said and then flip it and bring up stuff that wasn't even relevant to the conversation, only trying to make or prove a point. It came down to the point where did I want to be right or did I want to be married? And this is all in the first year. Do I want to be right or do I want to be married? And even if you're, quote-unquote, right, you may be wrong in your approach. You may be wrong in your delivery. When you're close to someone, you use all sorts of stuff as ammunition against them, dirty, which means you may pull out a couple of your mamas and you ain't and your families, and all that's so unnecessary. It is not necessary to be hurtful with your words or actions. It's not necessary to be abusive with your words or actions. It's not necessary. If you're trying to effectively communicate, and this is the person a few months ago you said you wanted to build your life with, those are necessary tools that you're bringing to the table. Those are weapons of warfare. And if you're fighting and warring in your own house, you are causing destruction and damnation. No one really wants that. So you have to take and make the time to learn effective communication. And so for us, for a minute, it was, okay, what's the real issue? Like the issue might be brought up during our lunch breaks. So that gave us the rest of the workday, the commute home, to process it. Therefore, if it was something I need to shut down and cry and get over or get through on an emotional level, or I had to call someone else and get through it on an emotional level, I can do all that before I bought him all those emotions and all the yelling and all the other stuff that I was bringing to the table. For him, if he was going to shut down, go ahead and shut down on your commute or figure out why you're shutting down. So, of course, as the years go on, we get better and we get better and we get better. You can only get better with what? Practice. And being married and having kids will bring a lot of opportunities to practice conflict and communication skills. So, now do I fight dirty? No, that's my husband. That's my partner. That's my helpmate. That's the leader, the head of my family. Why would I want to tear him down? Because the house divided against itself does not stand. And so I was wrong. And when you're wrong, it is okay to say two words, two, and it would just squash a whole lot of stuff. And mean it. I apologize. Not I apologize that you took it that way, but I apologize that I put it out there for you to even take it that way. Yeah, big girl panties on, yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Like there is a difference with, I'm sorry. Let's just move on. And the issue still unresolved, compared to I apologize. My intention was never to hurt you, but just to help you see things from my point of view or whatever your intentions were. If you are one of those whose relationship is now turning toxic due to the way that you were raised, so that's what you're repeating, due to what you've seen, heard, felt in a previous relationship, so that's what you're bringing to the table, stop. Really look at this. Do you want a failed marriage? The answer is no. If you just spent all this money on a wedding and you got everybody, sent all the invitations and all that, you stood before whoever you stood before, you made these vows, back your words up with your actions. And the actions you're going to have to back up with some humility. You know what? My strong personality can be dominating. Ugh, I don't want that to be the head of the household. So let me go ahead on and be humble enough to let you lead. You may not go the way I go. Two different GPS systems. But as long as we get there, I'm going to let you go. Yep, you're right. Let me step back and see how this works out. And if in case the situation does not work out, don't be like, I told you. I knew it wouldn't work. That's exactly what you... Who wants to be belittled all the time in their own home by the one person who's supposed to have their back no matter what? You are setting yourself up on a very dangerous and slippery slope. And the very thing about being on a dangerous and slippery slope, at any time you could fall, anytime you could slip down or slip off, and it's not worth it. On the other side of that, you need to make sure that you are speaking correctly or speaking in a way the other person hears you. When you get later on, we'll get into, like, love languages, and we'll say stuff like, I just said that, like, oh, my gosh. Another problem we had in the beginning is we could say the exact same thing. Mind you, we say it, like, 2-3 different ways. We're saying the same thing, and we're still arguing. What? Honey, we need to turn right. No, what we're going to do is we're not going to make any lefts. Babe, I just said that we need to turn right. And I said we're not going to make any lefts. And if we're not making lefts, that's exactly what I mean. What? If we're saying the same thing, why are we arguing? You know why? Because we're usually bringing other stressors in. The stress from the work week, the stress of family, the stress of bills, health issues, whatever the stressor is, we are now bringing that to our husband, our wives, and we have dumped it on them, and we're disguised, it's wrapped up and packaged in something else, sarcasm or something, and we're bringing that to that person and expecting them to be able to deal with it and to take it because you're my husband, you're my wife, I'm having a sucky week, I'm taking it out on you because I surely not take it out on my boss and lose my job. So here's all the dumping, the negativity, the toxicity, and I hope you don't like it. What? Again, this is the person that you said I do to or I do with. And you said whatever type of vows that you said, I'm a love, cherish, obey, walk with, hand in hand, whatever type of stuff you said, did you mean it? And if you meant it when you said it and you were looking long term, then there are some things that you're going to have to start changing about you in order for the marriage to change. In order for the marriage to maintain and to be healthy and to grow and to last past a 2-year, 3-year, 6-year mark, in order for you to have a real longevity. One of the best books that I read, but I read it after the game, we bought the game first and then I read the book, was Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Yes, there's a board game. Yes, it's fun. yes, you should definitely try it at least 1 or 2 nights with your spouse and another couple or two. Like, what? Oh, my gosh, it's a male thing. I get it. Okay, cool. Let me process this over here. Da-da-da-da. All right, cool. So this is how I need to respond. Exactly. And if you read the book, Men from Mars, Women from Venus, it helps you as a spouse because sometimes we don't get, like, if we surround ourselves with girlfriends and chicks and females, I'll say as wives, and we vent a lot and we talk a lot and sometimes we tell too much. That's neither here nor there. But we only get the female perspective. And then sometimes we have guy friends and we tell them too much. And now we got too many people in a relationship, but that's a whole nother episode. But we're not getting our husband, our spouse, or that perspective. Just because someone's a male does not mean that they think the same way as your man does. And even if you get a male's perspective on it and it's not your man, and you bring that up to your husband, that's going to cause some tension. Well, Derek said that he would support me in this decision because it's my body and I make the choice. Why are you talking to Derek about our personal stuff? That's going to be the first thing. Like, you like Derek so much, go on, you should have married Derek. Well, Derek's just my friend. See, there you go. See, you add in extra stuff. It's like, It's like this. When I first started cooking and baking cakes, I was like, oh my gosh, this is pretty cool. Like, I can really bake, and I've been baking for a long time. And so I thought that I could improve upon Duncan Hines' recipes. And I really wanted to make a whole lot of stuff from scratch. So I'd bake it. So I'd do the Duncan Hines recipe, and I'd add this ingredient or I'd add that ingredient. And sometimes I'd mess up the entire cake. There's just certain things you didn't put in to a Duncan Hines cake if you really want it to turn out a certain way. Then other times it turns out pretty good. I was like, okay, I can do that. And so we used to buy, for the most part, lemon cake mix or yellow Duncan Hines cake mix. And so I'm 14, 15 experiments in the kitchen. I'm adding peanut butter. Sometimes I'm adding sour cream. I'm just adding all sorts of stuff to cakes, like, every weekend. And my poor grandma, she would taste all that stuff, like, mm-hmm, David, mm-hmm. But I know if the cake lasted all week, it was not one of my best choices. Yeah, because cakes don't last around people with sweet teeth. Mm-hmm, doesn't work. So anyways, it's kind of like that. We're adding stuff in that doesn't need to be added. If it's a lemon cake mix, go ahead on and let the lemon cake mix taste like lemon. Lemon and peanut butter is not a very good combination. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Adding additional salt to cake. That's not really the best look or taste ever. Taking out and using trying to make half the cake doesn't quite, you know, stick together the same way. When you don't have milk, putting in additional water, it's something about the chemical balance and interaction that those ingredients have that helps the cake stay together and taste the way it's supposed to taste and kind of look like the picture on the box. But when we pick and choose and add and subtract and do stuff because we don't have all of the ingredients, or we're trying to fake it, or we're trying to make it our own designer thing, doesn't always gel. That takes a lot of practice, and that's what our marriages are. It really is. Like, for the longest season, it's trial and error, and so many people get frustrated, they walk away. But if we're trying to maintain marriages, there is no walk away. And that was one of the things that we agreed on for ourselves, even before premarital counseling, based upon the way he grew up and the way I grew up, when we decided, like, hey, marriage is a possibility for us, we were very, very strict to the fact that divorce is not an option. There's, like, here are the deal breakers. Here's my deal breaker. Here's his deal breaker. Can you live within those lines? And we both said we could live within those lines, and we were good. So everything else we just had to figure out. And I'm talking like big stuff. I'm talking like, because our first year of marriage, it was a very rocky road. We had a baby on the way. He was in back-to-back car accidents. I was in a car accident with the baby. He lost his job. I had to leave maternity leave early to go back to work because he wasn't bringing in income. It was a very stressful time, on top of trying to be newlyweds and get to know each other in that capacity, because this wasn't just my boyfriend. This is the person that's helping me. We had lights turned off. We had to relocate. We had bills mounting, hospital bills mounting, and that stress and all of that was a recipe for collapse. Like, ah! But that wasn't one of our deal breakers. So how do you get over it? How do you get through it? You get on top of the surfboard and you try again. You just keep going back out there and trying again. Frustrated, hard, upset. Ugh. I had like two main girlfriends at that time. And I know for the first 5 years of our marriage, I was like, oh, it's not going to work. I have to leave. He's got to leave. Something. This is not working. At the end of the day, thank goodness they were my sounding boards. And neither one of them were like, girl, come on, let's pack. They were all like, all right, well, see you in the morning. Because whatever the issue is, they knew we would keep getting up the next morning and figure out a way to make it work. 12 years later, still riding the waves, still going through various situations. But the thing is, after you got 12 years into it, you're like, I know how to ride this wave. I know exactly what's about to happen with this situation. I know what to do to avoid certain things. All right, cool. This is how we're going to do it. And we've developed like a team plan, because I guess about 7 years now, we've been calling ourselves Team Shelton, because our household is what we have. It's, at some point in time, it feels like it's us against the world. But whatever it is, we handle it as a team. We have a teenager, a preteen, mom and dad, and that's what we do as a team. Bow! Get in there. What's going on in school? What's going on here? Cool. What's your game play? What's your game plan? What you going to do? All right, let's huddle up. Let's make it happen. Bounce. We're the team. So our stressful situations, it's not like, oh, let me go and cry about this and leave and not come back because I can't handle it. It's more like, okay, well, let me not be overly emotional about this. Let me cry because, yeah, I still cry. And let me journal. Yeah, I still journal. So I have to have my own ways to work situations out of my mind. And then the situations that need to be discussed or addressed or brought together, we, as a couple, we can still do that. And then if it's a family issue, we get together as a family. Because at the end of the day, that's what we wanted. At the beginning of the marriage, what we wanted. We wanted to be loving parents. We wanted to be loving towards each other. And no, every day is not sunshine, nor is it rainbows. But whatever it is, I'm on this team, and this is my team for life. And I'll sport the jersey, and I'll sport the bruises and the bumps that come along with that. Not that my husband is physically abusive. I'm talking about emotional stuff that happens in life that will give you bumps and bruises. Okay, just want to put that out there because some people will take stuff to the extreme. But the life hiccups that happen, we hold our breath together, and we get through it. Never is there a situation that comes upon us that we cannot get through. It seems like it. It appears that way. And sometimes sanity appears to be leaving very fast. But because we made the commitment and we honor that commitment and we respect that commitment, then we have to go forward. Even now, like, we've got a lot of major decisions. Like, okay. And we don't really know how everything is going to be because you don't always know because life happens so fast and things change so quickly. But even now, we're going through it together. But we've grown to that point. Like, we've had big losses. We've lost major family members, and we've had big wins. Like, we've had births of children. We've had it, not all, but we've had a lot. And we've been very blessed and fortunate and to make it. And to stick with it because we realize it's in the best interest to stick to the vows that we have because the other options just aren't really available. They're not wise in our eyes. They're not wise because of the consequences of our actions. If we said, hey, I'm married, I want to be married, this is where I'm going to be, even though there's been other opportunities for us to do other things, you know, we have to decide as an adult, do I really want to risk it all and venture left because someone is showing me green grass? I know how to get my grass green. I know exactly what seed and fertilizer to use. This is 12 years worth of landscaping investment I've put over here. So if I have grass that's not as green as someone else's grass, if I even have the time to look and notice someone else's grass, but if I have grass that's not that green, that means I need to do something. It doesn't mean that I need to go over there and get their grass or look at their grass. It means there's something I need to do. And I think we've also grown in that aspect. Like, oh, this is the situation. What do I need to do to improve that? And then how can we need to improve that? It's not, oh, you. What you need to do is, and then you need to. See, that's the mutual respect that we've grown to. Haven't always been there because there have been plenty of heated conversations of what you need to do and I wish you would type stuff. And that's human, but as you grow with this person, the hope is that you grow with this person. As you guys are getting older and the calendars are moving faster, you have to make the choice, like, is this really what I want? Constantly, oh, this is a choice. This is what I want. This is who I want to be with. That I need to show up in the fullness of myself. And if it feels like, you know, you're the anchor, but not in a good way, like you're the one that's dragging the family and slowing the family down, what do you need to do? What aspects of you do you need to work on? Because there are times when stuff is individual and there's sometimes when stuff is group. Individual means, hey, take a step back, look in the mirror. And a lot of the times it's you. Yeah, it is. And that was a hard pill for me to swallow because I had some pride, some arrogance, some concern about the situation. Like, it's not me, it's him, it's them, because we can see the faults in other people, and we can see, you know, the differences, and we can let those differences overtake us and say, yada, 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 or We can do introspection, and we can look in that mirror and say, ugh, that may have been right, but the way I did it was wrong. At the end of the day, I messed up. And, yeah, those three words right there, that's almost as powerful as the I love you. But in a heated situation where you can say, I messed up, it was me, and then hit it with them two words, I apologize, and mean that, boy, and not only say that, but then to do and correct whatever you messed up on, boy, game changer, because it changes the atmosphere, it changes the mood, and if you've married someone who's supportive of you, which is the type of person you should have married, yeah, then they'll come over and they'll give you the stuff that you need, like the affection, the pat on the back, the kick in the rear, whatever it may be, because they know you and they know what you need. And so now that you're able to verbalize, hey, I was wrong, I apologize, I might need some help in this area. And they're going to be willing to help you, or at least point you in the right direction so you can get that help. But anytime you're in a situation, there are warning signs. If you're in a situation and it's just turning negative and toxic and you've already looked at yourself, then you're going to have to take it to a higher power. It just is what it is. Because sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, okay, I need to fix X, Y, and Z. But that's not the root of the issue. That's just the fruit that's blossomed up from the issue. And you've got to be willing to go deep into your issues and your family history and how you process stuff as a child and how you were treated along the way and how you treat others. And look at your past relationships, because if they ended, 9 times out of 10, you're the common denominator. So it can't be everybody. It can't be everybody else's fault. You on your third marriage, your fifth failed relationship, 16 baby daddy. You know, it's not everybody else all the time. Pull out the mirror and get that work in. Work on yourself. That's one of the best workouts ever. Everybody's talking about gym and fitness. Work on yourself. Hit that mirror time and see who you really are. Start journaling or look back over your journals. If you're writing the same thing, like 10 years later, what was me? I don't know why. You need some counseling, and I mean that in the best way ever. A real licensed clinical person who can help you come out of you and see your issues for what they really are. And it does not always need medication. It doesn't always need 6 years of a commitment to go into counseling. A couple of sessions could really just set you on the right path when you're with the right person. And then after that, it's up to you to keep going, to maintain, to use the tools that you have. We had to keep going and to maintain. And, yes, we had the premarital counseling, but we also had to go in for follow-up counseling. And there are still times where we'll call back or step back and be like, oh, what did I say then? How did that work out? Oh, okay. I don't know how, but I do know who type situations that you're up against. And when you are maintaining a marriage and building the family, those are the things you have to have. You've got to have the good foundation. The season of dating is over. Now you're in the big leagues, and this thing right here is real. And if you can maintain your marriage and be, one, a light in your family, light in the community, you are now a light in the world. And there are others who will look at your situation and be like, I don't even know how y'all made it. And then you can tell the story, and you can let other people know that, hey, we didn't know we were going to make it. But let me tell you how to hold on to hope. Let me tell you about getting on your knees and praying. Let me tell you about meditating. Let me tell you about doing stuff together with this one that you said you want to live the rest of your life with. Let me tell you how to leave work stuff at work. Let me show you how to shut your cell phone off so that you're not inundated during the weekends and doing all sorts of work for other people and not working on your marriage, your relationship, and yourself. Let me show you how this tool helps. May not work for them, but just the fact that you are willing to take your test and your trials and turn them into your testimony or turn them into your revelation for someone else and share that experience helps create and build and grow something called hope. And once the seed of hope starts to grow, it's really unstoppable. So when you live this out and you live your life in such a way that, wow, someone else is looking at it, because that's what people do, that we're people watchers by nature. It just is what it is. Trust, someone is looking at it, and they're looking at your successes, and they're looking at your failures. And the most of the people who are looking at it are the ones inside your home. And they're deciding for themselves, is this how I want to live? Oh, I'm definitely not going to do like mommy does. Or I'm definitely not going to do like daddy does. Or I want a man like my like if yeah, I want a man like my dad. I want a woman like my mom. Or I want to be a woman like my mom. I want to be a man like my dad. My dad always did this. My mom always did that. All of that is playing a role, and you're setting something up that's going to last two and three generations down the line. So why not maintain what you have within a level of respect and dignity and just hold on to that hope and watch what grows from that? Compared to letting it go, quitting, walking away, and still being in the same situation 5 years later with someone else. Maintain the marriage. That's what we're talking about all week. I am so glad you guys tuned in. Yes, I'm very passionate about marriages and maintaining them, and I hope you guys get some fruit and some nuggets out of that. And if not, it's going to get better because we got two more days, Wednesday at 7 a.m. and Thursday at 7 a.m. We're going to continue on this course, and we're only going to grow and get better together. Y'all have a great one. This is Rev J. Blessed and Know It Ministries, Couch Conversations. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, maintain. All right. Bye-bye.